Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Caleb and I were having a little talk before today's episode, talking about just how quickly we're getting through these last verses in 2 Timothy.
Right. It's such a quick pace. It's almost, you know, it's something that we need to reward ourselves, I think. You know, compared to how we started out this book, we are rapidly flying through this book.
Well, yeah, well, I don't think that's true. 31,000 verses in the Bible, I mean, roughly 31,000 verses. At the pace that we have been going the last three episodes, that means it would take us 31,000 episodes to get through the Bible. I don't think I'm going to live that long.
Hey, we did a couple half verses in the first chapter, so you know, we'll try to make up a little bit, try to catch up some speed.
Well, I actually joked about, well, today we're going to go more quickly. Then I looked at verse 2 and I thought, well, maybe not. So let's look at it, my friends. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. The topic, of course, has been the Word of God, its sufficiency, its profitability, its accessibility, our accountability to it. And Paul says to Timothy in verse 2, preach the Word. So if the Word of God is God-breathed, if it is profitable, if it is accessible, if one day we're going to be judged by it, then why would we preach anything but it?
Yeah, it's a simple command, but it's all based on the last few verses that he's been saying. He said, all right, if it's true, then just simply preach the Word. Don't preach, you know, and as he's talked about in previous chapters, it's not preaching, you know, not going on about vain babblings and things like that. No, stick to the Scripture, stick to God's Word, stick to the truth, and just preach that day in and day out.
It's not to say that a message will never have a personal anecdote or an historical allusion or some kind of application. I think those parts are necessary, but the bulk of our preaching and teaching ought to be just that.
Yeah.
It ought to be the doctrine and correction and reproof and instruction that the Word of God provides.
Absolutely.
So, verse 2, preach the Word. That's the command. Now, how and when and under what conditions do we preach the Word? Well, the Bible tells us. So verse 2, preach the Word, be instant. To be instant means to be ready. So be instant, be ready in season and out of season. So it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be convenient. Mm-hmm. You're not always going to know when you're going to be called upon to proclaim God's word, but we ought to always be ready.
Yeah, you know, if we are given the Word of God, and you know, if you think of us today, we have accessibility to God's word at all times on multiple different platforms and multiple different, you know, from the printouts to you know, us accessing our phone and our computers everywhere. There's that accountability that, hey, if we have the Word of God, we should be able to be ready. We should be able to, you know, preach His word, proclaim His truth to any person at any time, and be ready to share the gospel with others.
There's a certain work of God's Holy Spirit when it comes to His word that just always amazes me. And it's the promise that Jesus gave His apostles, and that is that when we truly are people that are learning the Bible every day, imbibing the Word of God, seeking to please Him, then God has a way, Caleb, and I'm sure that you could testify to this as well, that His Word just comes back to you. Hmm. When I'm witnessing to somebody, yeah, or answering a skeptic or answering a kind of some odd, strange, yeah, question somebody threw at me. Uh-huh. It's just the way it works.
Yeah. It's so cool to see how God works and blesses as we share his word with other people. I've thought about, you know, one time I was in high school and we were doing an outreach and we were going door to door, and some guy gave this, you know, kind of obscure rebuttal to what I was trying to tell him. And I went back and I told my youth pastor, well, I told him about this scripture, and he's like, whoa. He's like, whoa, that was actually really, I was like, yeah, I have no idea where that came from. Like, I don't even know. Like, and you know, as we talked about it, he's like, hey, that's just the Holy Spirit. You know, he's there with you. And so.
And obviously you had learned that along the way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was tucked away, and God brought that back to remembrance.
Right. Yeah. And it's cool to see how God brings that about, because at the end you're just like, only God. It's only through His Spirit, only through His power, and you know, we can only attribute that glory to Him.
So be instant in season, out of season. I think a good parallel to that would be Peter's advice in 1 Peter chapter 3 when he said, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that would ask you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." In other words, be respectful, you know, be meek, don't be obnoxious, but be ready to give people the truth. Mm. So the idea then is, be a person of the book, be a person saturated with God's word, so that in convenient times and in inconvenient times, you're ready to give it. Proactively, yeah. Reactively, you are armed with the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And then here are some ways by which to preach the word. Sometimes preaching the word involves reproving. Sometimes preaching the word involves rebuking. Sometimes preaching the word involves exhorting with long-suffering and doctrine. So, and most of the time, Caleb, preaching the word of God involves all of those in the same message.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's showing that, you know, as we share the word of God, you have that balance. It's not just we're, you know, taking what we know and imposing that on others, or to, you know, or using scripture just to beat something over somebody's head or just to get the point across or what we want, but it's saying, hey, you know, I'm doing this for to edify, to encourage, also to show what's wrong and to encourage you to turn from what it might be that you're doing wrong, but we're doing with long suffering in doctrine and the truth of God's word.
So never seek to reprove people and rebuke people primarily through your tone or through your attitude or through your desire to get something off your chest. I'm not saying that the tone of preaching should never be angry. Sometimes it should, if the tone of scripture is in that passage, or should never be serious. I think there are times we should be dead serious in the way that we rebuke somebody. The point here is, let the word of God do its work. Yeah. The word of God itself should be that reproof, should be that rebuke. And then that exhortation. So to exhort means to call people to one side, to give people encouragement, to give them hope with all long suffering, because people don't always get it the first time we tell them. They don't always understand it the first time we teach them, with all long suffering and doctrine, to come back to make sure that there's a level of understanding, to make sure that this truth is foundationed upon other truth, to make sure that this is something that they fully comprehend.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid thing to look at, is especially the heart and the motive behind why are we rebuking and reproving. And sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the emotion of it, but all that's doing is it most of the time just causes resentment in the heart of the hearer towards you, rather than, hey, if we're doing it lovingly, you know, through scripture, through the truth of God's word, teaching them, edifying them, exhorting them, that's going to allow them to hear the truth. That's going to allow them to the Holy Spirit to do the work that it needs to, as we're being used as a vessel to preach God's word. So we got to sometimes remind ourselves that the point is not just to show them that they're wrong, and to show that we're right, but it's to bring them back to God, is to bring them back into that fellowship and relationship that they need to be.
So if I had to give an adjective to verse 1, I charge thee before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say the adjective that describes that verse would be important. This is gravely important. If I had to give an adjective to describe verse 2, I would say urgent. So think about how Paul is sharing these imperatives. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. You know, it's all these short punctiliar commands. There's an urgency, Timothy. People need the Bible. And before it's too late, before they're swayed, before they're tugged away. And I think that's the teaching of verse 3. Mm-hmm. We're to a new verse here, Caleb. Yeah. I'm proud of ourselves.
We're going for 2 for 1.
So urgent, preach the word. Why? For the time will come. So what does that tell me? That tells me that your preaching ministry, your teaching ministry has a shelf life.
Yeah. And we don't know what that is.
We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So while there's time, man, get the truth out. While there's time, invest in that young person. While there's time, teach those children because they're not always going to be in your home. Yeah. While there's time, right? Mm.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's when you think of it in that sense that, you know, as James says, we don't know what's on the morrow. As we think about what Solomon said, you can't, you know, boast not thyself tomorrow. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. In this day, we don't know how much longer we have. You might be somebody, he's mentoring somebody. You don't know how much longer you'll have that same influence on that person or on that child or on that staff member or that assistant. So while you have the time, you realize the importance of God's word and the urgency of God's word and invest yourself into them.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's coming a time when they are going to be tempted to move on to something that is not the truth. So while people are listening, while there is an open door, while a heart is tender, seize that moment.
Yeah.
I wonder how often we have people that would listen. We have people in our churches, in our Sunday school classes, in our classrooms that want it, but we're not urgent about it.
Hmm.
And we always feel like, oh, we'll have more time to teach them. We'll get around to that. We've got our own things going on. And we miss our window of opportunity with people when they would listen to truth.
Wow, that's powerful because it puts the onus back on the preacher and the teacher. Yeah, and sometimes we just get frustrated and say, well, you know, they just, you know, they must have never taken anything to heart. And they, you know, and there might be some valid points that we're saying, but sometimes we need to say, well, did I give everything that I could to this person? Did I, you know, really take, you know, my time to preach God's word as, you know, time where I really studied? Did I, you know, use that time to maybe write that note of encouragement or go out of my way to show that relationship to them? You know, it's, you know, if you stop watering something, it can die, you know, and sometimes we're just not feeding that seed and that's blooming, and eventually it dies out. And a lot of times you see that young people at drastic rates are dropping out of churches, and sometimes we have to think within the church and might be somewhat of our problem, you know, not just necessarily them just, you know, jumping into the world, but hey, what are we doing to invest in these young people? Are we, you know, if we're continuing to have them drop out, you know, maybe we need to take a look at what we're teaching and preaching and how we're investing in their lives.
Yeah, sometimes we complain about the spiritual junk food that people are turning to. But I wonder, when they were hungry, were we feeding them real food? And so if we weren't, then we can't complain about their diet of Snickers bars and Doritos right now when we weren't providing. So, yeah, the onus does come back to us, doesn't it? And so my question to you, my friends, would be, you know, who's the hungry heart in your life right now? Who's the person on the sidelines of your life right now that would love for you to invest in them, would be hungry for truth? Don't think that they're going to be on that shelf forever. There's a shelf life for investment, and we need to have a sense of urgency when it comes to getting the Word of God into people. So I don't know who that helps today, but I hope it helps you. Hope you have a great day, and I look forward to jumping right back into this same verse next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.